Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. I do a weekly radio show called Folk and Acoustic Music on WLRN in Miami. And with Dr. Karen Neal, performance storyteller and author, we bring you The Public Storyteller, stories of everyday people who live in South Florida. Karen, what story do we have today?
Michael, here's a story from Lisa Correo.
I was 11 years old. It was Halloween 1986 in North Lauderdale, Florida. It was a suburban neighborhood full of families. Every house in the neighborhood had kids, and we all knew each other. Also, every kid had a nickname. There was Art the Fart, Kelly Smelly, Beanpole. And then there was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, rotund boy named Belly. Not Billy, Belly. And it's funny his name was Belly because Belly was a bully. So why I would like this kid is beyond me. Maybe this was my bad boy phase. So I thought I would surely impress this kid with my homemade Halloween costume. I thought, what do boys like? Of course, cheerleaders. But I had a firm belief and still do that Halloween costumes must be scary. So I went with a zombie cheerleader. Brilliant. Because back then, you didn't see mashup costumes, okay? You saw kids dressed as plain old Draculas, toilet paper mummies, and of course, you know, you had your basic witches. And I ain't no basic witch. The zombie makeup was easy. I had an old tennis skirt and the perfect old sweater with stripes on the sleeves. I made it dirty and torn up and added red paint for fake blood. But what put this over the edge was that I made it look like I was impaled with a twirling baton, like the kind a majorette would have, as if that's how I met my death. I used wooden dowels and PVC pipes. I created like a back brace, and then it like kind of shot out of the sweater. I made it look like real metal and like it was sharp by using aluminum foil, and I put fake blood on it. So, I mean, it was legit. Oh, it even had a little rubber real baton end on the one side. So I'm telling you, it looked like the real thing. My design would have two major flaws. One, South Florida Halloween is usually very hot and I'm wearing a thick sweater. Bigger problem is that this back brace was not exactly ergonomically designed. It only worked if I kept my back perfectly straight. I couldn't stretch or bend at all, and I'm about to wear this thing all day. Because in those days, you would even wear your Halloween costume to school. So it was about to be a solid 12 hours sweating bullets with extreme back pain. I actually had pinched nerves halfway through the day. It didn't matter, though. My costume was a huge hit. I was like a rock star at school, and my trick-or-treat rounds killed it. I saved Belly's house for last because I wanted to make sure he was home for my big reveal. I came up to his house, which I remember was nicely decorated with fake cobwebs and a skeleton. I walked past their giant cactus in their front swale, up the horseshoe driveway, and along their winding stepstones to the front door. This was it. I took a deep breath. Even though I was an 11-year-old having hot flashes and back spasms, I knew I was going to nail this. Ding dong, his mom answered the door. Trick or treat, it's me, Lisa. Wow, honey, that's awesome. What are you? Belly runs over. Everything is going according to plan. He's dressed as a plain vanilla Dracula, of course. I'm a zombie cheerleader. I got impaled with my baton. They couldn't believe my amazing costume. His mom gave me a full-sized whatchamacallit and full-size Reese's peanut butter cups. Mission accomplished. I say thank you and turn around to leave, knowing that sweet relief was on its way. I couldn't wait to take this torture device off as soon as they shut that stinking door. I can see the finish line, baby. We wave to each other as I enthusiastically go to bolt down the driveway with my bag full of goodness and the hubris of Wile E. Coyote right before an anvil falls on his head. I attempt to bypass the winding part of their little walkway when suddenly, almost like it was a booby trap, my foot catches on the bricks bordering their winding stepstones, and I went airborne, and I mean I'm flying full Superman. I was in the air for so long that I had time to think, wow, I'm still going. Once I finally hit the ground, I tumbled right into their giant cactus. I'm now tangled in my own creation and full of cactus spines, almost impaled for real by my baton. Fake blood now mingled with real blood, my candies all over the driveway. Mere moments earlier, I was the queen of Halloween, and now I'm a pathetic exploded zombie pinata. His mom, who was impressed by my genius, is now pitying the fool as she tried to carefully untangle me from my mess. Belly actually snickers at me, and then he began stealing my candy. Injured, humiliated, and betrayed by the man I loved, I limped home, forever done with bad boys. And to this day, I don't celebrate before I reach any finish line.
Lisa Correo with a Halloween story.
Can you guess that this is a stand-up comedian, a very, very successful stand-up comedian and also a storyteller?
Well, I can guess that she's very good at telling stories. I didn't know she was a professional, though.
Well, she's so funny. There is so much humor in this story. The nickname Smelly and Belly the Bully, her description of the zombie cheerleader, and her verve, her excitement in telling this story from years ago. I just found her energy and her sensibility to be really delightful and entertaining.
And her creativity, the zombie cheerleader with the baton sticking in her. I would love to see that.
At 11 years old.
Having to walk around in that costume the whole day, inspired by Belly, no less. That takes quite a commitment.
Absolutely. And it shows us so much about the little girl that she was and gives us an indication maybe of the woman she was destined to be, a performer and all eyes on her and going out to get what she wants.
And I liked how the ending built up, trying to impress Belly and the family, and how descriptive she was.
The descriptions were unbelievable, and the language was so fun. When she says things like, she felt like a zombie pinata, the great fall in fall, and maybe this was my bad boy phase. I mean, she really comes into her own in this story. She shows that this is a little girl with very descriptive language. She explains from then on, this is a little girl who's going to take no prisoners.
I especially like the ending where she finds out what Belly is really like when he starts stealing her candy when she's in the cactus.
That's what's so funny. You know, we women, we cannot see the flaws of men. We're head over heels over until it's a little too late sometimes. But I have to caution you, this is not a parable or a fable. This is not a teaching story. This is very much an entertainment story, and it's so entertaining.
Well, I'll keep my eyes out for Lisa Correa now.
Well, as a matter of fact, Michael, she is performing at the Boca Raton Public Library in April. I know that's 6 months from now, but mark your calendars, April 18th at 3 p.m.
Is there a storytelling slam this week?
Next Sunday at 3 p.m., Boca Raton Public Library, 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Boca. It's free. Anyone can tell a story as long as there's a place left for them. About 5 minutes, adults only. No notes or memorization.
That's next Sunday at what time?
Next Sunday, 3 p.m.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. We like to encourage all our listeners to submit their South Florida story. Karen, how can we do that?
Send me an email at cneil@fau.edu. That's C-N-E-I-L-E. And yeah, I don't need a summary. I don't need a script. I definitely don't need a script. Just tell me you're interested and I will contact you.
Thanks, Karen. Dr. Karen Neal is a performance storyteller and author. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next month on Folk and Acoustic Music and can be heard on your favorite podcast app.